We'll sing 683. And let's make sure to keep the tempo up on this one. This is just a joyful song. Do me. If the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue. If your cares and burdens seem great all the whole day through, there's a silver lining that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith and see it, my friend. Trust in his promises grand. Sing and you'll be happy today. Press along to the goal. Trust in him who leadeth the way. Let the world know where you belong. Look to Jesus and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today. Often we are troubled and tired, sick with sorrow and pain. There are others living in sin, blessed with earthly gain. Take new courage, we cannot tell what the morrow may bring. When the dark clouds vanish away, then your heart truly can sing. Sing and you'll be happy today. Press along to the goal. Trust in him who leadeth the way. He is keeping your soul. Let the world know where you belong. Look to Jesus and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today. Oft we fail to see the rainbow up in heaven's fair sky. When it seems the fortunes of earth frown and pass us by, there are things we know that are worth more than silver and gold. If we hope and trust him each day, we shall have pleasure untold. Sing and you'll be happy today. Press along to the goal. Trust in him who leadeth the way. He is keeping your soul. Let the world know where you belong. Look to Jesus and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today.
I will speak into the mic because I do not have a loud voice, and even though I am a teacher and would probably walk around, I know that you will need the mic to hear me. So I'll do my best. If I'm not, remind me, because I might not. Okay, can you hear me? And can you see me? Because I'm a little short behind the podium. Okay, so the topic that I was given is, let us not grow weary in encouraging one another. I didn't even think about trying to change the title because that's what I was told to do. But I will say I don't know that necessarily I'm going to talk about not growing weary in doing it as much as just encouraging you all to think about how we encourage people and remind you that that's something that needs to be done. So I know a lot of you here, but there are some people that I don't know. So I thought I would start by telling you a little bit about myself. So I teach second and third grade. I started teaching 3 years ago after homeschooling my kids for 9 years. I have been a military wife for 17 years. And with that, I have moved 9 times since I've been married, which means I've had a lot of starting over and making new friends and going to a new congregation and having to try to fit into a place where I don't know anybody, which has been a challenging thing to deal with. It also means that since I've been married, my husband's been deployed 5 times. He's deployed right now. He's in Kuwait. He has been there since Thanksgiving of last year. And he'll be home sometime after Thanksgiving this year. And 7 years ago, when my youngest son, I have three kids, when my youngest was 3 weeks old, I found out that I had Hodgkin's lymphoma and had 6 months of chemotherapy. I lived in Arizona at the time. I had lived in Arizona about less than 2 months when I found out that I had cancer. So I really did not know anybody besides just the people I had met from church. And so I was thinking about why would Vicki ask me to talk about this topic? And then I thought, well, I'm pretty sure it's because I've needed a lot of encouragement in my life. And I have been blessed because a lot of the places I've been there have been people there who encouraged me. So that makes me feel somewhat qualified to talk about it. And I told my mother-in-law, who is here, that I was not going to make you all cry. So this is a happy topic. It's not going to be sad. I feel like I've had a lot of good examples of encouragement, and I want to share some of those with you. So I'm going to start by talking about, like, what is encouragement? And because I'm a teacher, I'm going to make you participate in this. So turn to someone next to you, someone that you're sitting beside, and talk. Oh, wait. I changed my mind. That's on the next slide. Okay, so we are going to talk about what do you think encouragement means. And I have markers. I'm going to go grab them, and I'm going to write down on the thing some ideas that you have of what encouragement means. Because last week in our grammar lesson, I was supposed to teach encouragement. What does that mean? What are the antonyms and the synonyms for encouragement? So we had a conversation, coincidentally, last week about what is encouragement. And they said encouragement is cheering someone up, or it could be at a sporting event. So, like, they felt like they got encouraged a lot when they were running cross country. Somebody would be there to be like, go on, you can make it, you can make it. And I thought that was pretty insightful. Like, that is a good way to think about what we're trying to do when we're encouraging people. And I don't think that's the only way you can think of it, but I thought they were good examples. I looked it up in Vine, and according to Vine's in the Bible, when the word encouragement is used, it either means to urge forward or persuade. So it's kind of like that coaching thing, right? You can do it. You've got this. To counsel or advise, to comfort someone, or to come to someone's aid. So with that in mind, I would like you to turn to someone that you're sitting next to and tell them one way that someone has encouraged you that you can think of just off the top of your head. I'm going to wait like 2 minutes. Okay, now I would like you to turn to someone on your other side and share one way that you have encouraged someone else, that you personally have been an encouragement to someone.
Cupcakes, and then we took the cupcakes to
was it encouraging to the people then that bought the cards and got the cupcakes? But then it was a good example to them. Okay, would anyone... Oh, wait a second. Does anybody have something they would like to share? Maybe you heard a really good idea at your table. Does anybody have one? Yeah. You look like you're about to raise your hand, so. That is so nice. If somebody had done that to me, that would have, like, totally probably made my week. Like, that's so nice. Instead of... Okay, so the Bible tells us that we should be encouraging each other. So that's pretty basic. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. And I think we all know that that's something we need to be doing, but sometimes it's hard to remember to do that because you get caught up in your own life and what's happening every day. And you have, like Jeannie said, you have your own tribulations that you're dealing with, and it's hard to remember that you need to be also thinking about your brothers and sisters, so to encourage them as well. So I kind of have this set up, like I'm going to talk about why we should encourage people, who we should encourage, like the, you know, the who, what, where, when, why, how. So that's kind of what we're going with here. So why do we need to encourage each other? And in John 16:33, Jesus says to us, in this world we will have tribulation. So Jesus tells us that, and Jeannie talked about that. We all have tribulations that we are dealing with. And in fact, in John 15:18-21, it says, Jesus tells them, the world will hate you. So not only are we going to have trouble, actually people are going to hate us. So that's a pretty good reason that we need to be encouraging each other. And in Ephesians 6:12, Paul tells us that we are wrestling not only with flesh and blood, and I'm quoting from the ESV version, not only with flesh and blood with the people who hate us, but also the cosmic powers and spiritual forces of evil. That's kind of intense and a little bit scary. And in 1 Peter 5:8, it says the devil is prowling around like a lion, looking for someone to devour. So, yes, I think we are all going to have issues, and we are all going to need somebody to encourage us. And going back to the definition we talked about earlier, we need somebody who will comfort us and aid us, and that will be helpful to us. So that's why we will need the encouragement. But why do we need it? Like, what does it do for us? How is it going to help us? In John 13:34-35, Jesus tells us that we should love each other. And if we're encouraging each other and spending time to make those connections, I think somebody had mentioned that, Holly, you said this, about pursuing peace. Like, you need to first have a relationship with one another. If you have a relationship with another person and you love them, then it's going to make it easier for us to love the way that Jesus loved, and we can encourage each other in that way. In Romans 15:4, it tells us that encouragement through the scriptures gives us hope. And I think considering all that stuff about hatred and battling cosmic forces, it's a pretty good thing to have hope from others. And it specifically says that the scriptures give us hope. So not just other people, but we can get encouragement from the scriptures and by sharing those with other people. In Hebrews, I also had the, this is a side note, realization yesterday that I had not written out all the verses and I would have to look them all up. So last night I wrote out all the verses on my paper here, but I wrote them. So if I'm struggling a little bit here, I'm trying to read my handwriting. Okay. So in Hebrews 12:5, it tells us that receiving encouragement can also help us when we are being tested. And in 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, we see that when encouragement is done with love, it nurtures patience and kindness in us. So that is what it does for us personally. So not only are you helping others when you are encouraging them, but it also helps you to be more loving, to give hope. How can we encourage each other? So here I've just looked for examples in the scripture that I felt like were good examples of encouragement. And then later I would like to talk about practical examples of what we can actually do today. But in Proverbs 16:24, it says, "Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body." And 1 Thessalonians 4:18 instructs the Thessalonians to encourage each other with words. So one way that we can encourage each other is through our words. In Acts 20, verse 2, Paul had visited Macedonia, and when he had given them encouragement, he left for Greece. In Colossians, this says 4:18, but it was 4:8. In Colossians 4:8, Paul sends Titius, which I may be pronouncing wrong, for the, quote, very purpose of encouraging Colossians. So he sent him there. And in Ephesians 6:22, he also sent Titius to the Ephesians for the same reason. So one way that we can encourage people is by actually visiting them, going to see them, going where they are. In Hebrews 10:25, the Hebrew writer tells us that we should not neglect meeting together, but to come together and encourage each other. So also when we are at worship service, we are encouraging each other just by being there. And I know that has been true for me. When we travel a lot in my family, and when we travel, we always find a place to worship, and that means we went to Costa Rica one time, and we went to a service that was entirely in Spanish. I don't speak Spanish. And we went to Italy, went to a service entirely in Italian. I don't speak Italian. But it was encouraging to me to be there. Actually, when we were in Italy, somebody who also spoke English in that congregation came and sat by me, and as the preacher was preaching, was translating all of what he was saying. I mean, a summary, I'm sure, of what he was saying into English so that Matt and I could read it and, like, also be edified by being there. That was encouraging, but I think also to them it was just encouraging that we are so far from home and still making it a priority to worship somewhere. So not neglecting the time we meet together, even when we're somewhere else, because maybe you're encouraging someone else just by being there. As I mentioned earlier in Romans 15:4, we see that we can encourage others through the use of the scriptures. And in Philippians 2:3-4, Paul also tells us to look at the interests of others and not just ourselves. So not to pursue selfish things, but to think about what other people are interested in. And I think that kind of goes back to the skit we did here, right? Like, it's not just all about ourselves. It's that we should be seeing what other people are interested in and being able to use that to encourage them. And then finally, in Acts 20, verse 1, I feel like this one's kind of a stretch, but when I read this, it says, Paul sent for the disciples, and after encouraging them, he left. And so when I read this, it made me feel like maybe he was kind of giving them a pep talk, like, I have to go, but you've got this. And so I think that's a way that we can encourage somebody, just to tell them, like, you are strong, you've got this, you can handle it. So, like, giving a pep talk. I have good news for you. I'm talking so fast and going through this so fast, I think I'm going to give you more time for your activities. Oh, I'm not done. I'm like, yeah. Okay, so who needs encouragement? In 1 Thessalonians 5:14, the Bible tells us specifically to encourage the faint-hearted. But I feel like, this is my opinion, but those who are faint-hearted are sometimes the ones that are easier to spot, right? You know that there's a trouble in their life. You know that they're struggling with an illness, or you see that they're not attending worship, and so you think, that person is struggling. I should reach out to them. But that's good. That's one person that we should encourage. In fact, we should encourage everyone. In 1 Timothy 5:1-2, Paul tells Timothy to encourage older men, younger men, older women, younger women. That's everyone. So there's no one who is excluded from needing to be encouraged sometimes. But I think a less likely category that we forget is that we also need to encourage people who seem like they're strong and seem like they have it together. So when I was thinking about this, an example of someone who appears strong was Elijah. And Elijah was like, he was a prophet who was doing really great things, right? He battled against all of the prophets of Baal and destroyed them. And he proved that his God was the true God. And immediately after, actually, I'm going to read this one. So if you want to turn to 1 Kings 19, 3 through 10, I did not write all of that out. I'm going to read that one. It says, Jezebel is after him. Jezebel wants to kill him. And he was afraid. And he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die. So he has just defeated the prophets of Baal and destroyed them. And he's saying, just kill me, Lord. I'm done. I can't do this. He says, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father. And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And again, the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you. And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. So even though we think of Elijah as being a strong prophet and really after the will of the Lord, right? He still struggled. And God recognized this, and God sent an angel to encourage him. And what did he do? He said, you can do this. And he said, here's some food. We can do that for people. And so I think it's important. I know for me personally, since Matt has been gone, I've received some encouragement, but I've also sometimes felt like people forget, like that it's just me. And, you know, maybe that's not a tribulation that people understand or that anybody else has dealt with, but sometimes it's hard and it's lonely. I'm sorry. I'm going to cry. And someone said to me, like, I'm sorry we have forgotten you because you just seem like you have it all together. And so we recognize that maybe this family over here, when her husband was deployed, we had to really help her because she really needed it. But you seem like you have everything together. So we just didn't think. And the truth is, I do feel like I have it together almost every day. My parents live close to me. I have a great support system. But it would be really lovely if people had just more frequently said, sent a text and said, thought of you today. And that's a really easy thing to do that makes people feel like you remember them. Even if they feel like, even if you think that's a strong person, they don't need me. Maybe they do. So, when should we encourage each other? In Hebrews 3:13, it says every day. It says, exhort one another every day as long as it is called today. So literally every day we should be encouraging someone. And I find it interesting that the very next thing that he says is, exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And I'm not really going to talk about that, but I just think when we're encouraging others, it's also benefiting us so that we're not hardened, our hearts are not hardened. And not encouraging someone may cause not only them, but also you to become discouraged. So here is where I'm going to have you participate again. Can you think of a time that you have been discouraged and share that with someone next to you? Okay, I'm going to add a second question. With that in mind, as you're thinking about that way that you have been discouraged in the past, how can you make sure that that's not happening for other people, that others are not also feeling discouraged? And you can continue to chat about that. Okay, would anyone like to share something that they said, a way we can help from discouraging other people? We don't necessarily need to share the way you've been discouraged, right? Because we're not looking back, we're moving forward. But how can we help to not discourage other people? Well, and I like what you said also, like when they became aware, then they were there to help you. Because earlier I made this note while Jeannie was talking, like you have to let people know that you need help. And you can't expect them to help you necessarily if they don't know that you need it. And that's hard for me to let people know that I need help. And so I have a caveat to that, but also like, you have to realize that most people are not going to let you know that they need help. So even if they say, no, I'm fine, they might not be. And I'm going to always tell you that I'm fine. So, you know, even though. For sure. And I actually later I have a story that I want to share kind of along that line. But.
Mm-hmm. And she knew she couldn't leave me, and she stayed with me, and it was hard for me, I'll admit. I was ready to throw her this out, and so I said, I can't do that. That's not what God would say. And things are better than they've ever been for her in that now, and I'm so thankful for it. And it's because Kelly did the right thing, and Kelly doing, and the elders did the right thing. It just keeps snowballing into good things.
So. I think that sometimes when we're thinking about who do we need to encourage, when do we need to encourage people, there's some dangers that we fall into. And it's really easy to make excuses about why we're not the one who needs to do that. Like, other people have this. They don't need me. I know there are people in the congregation who are helping them, so I'm good. I don't need to do that. Also, I'm not close to that person, so it's not my responsibility. You know, they sit on the other side of the building. They got their other side friends who are taking care of them, right? So I don't know about their struggles as much, but I know that those people over there, they've got that. Or I'm not old enough to encourage someone, and I know for me that's one of my things because I still think of my mom as that person. But I know when my mom was my age, I also thought of her as that person. Can you think of other excuses that you have maybe heard or made about why it's you're not, you know?
I don't know how.
Good. Yeah. I'm too busy. Yeah. Yeah. Or even I've got my own problems, right? So I know they're struggling a little bit, but it's nothing like what I'm dealing with, so I don't need to do that right now. But the truth is, and this is my opinion, but the truth is someone else doesn't always have it, and it doesn't matter if you're close, and it doesn't matter how old you are. It's what matters is somebody needs you, and you might be the only one who, maybe not that can fill that need, but you might be the only one who actually steps up and does fill that need. So now I'm going to share some practical examples, and these are mostly going to be personal stories of ways that I've either felt like I was really doing a good job of encouraging someone, or ways that I've been really encouraged. So my first example is a couple years ago. I did this once, and here's the embarrassing part. I'm really sad that I only did it once because I intended to do it all the time, and the reason I didn't is because I didn't feel like my house was clean enough to continue to do it. I worked so hard getting my house clean for the first time that I was like, oh, that's too much work. But I hosted an event at my house that I called Cards and Cupcakes, and I invited all the young girls from the congregation that were around my daughter's age, so like in between 8 and 14, to come to my house, and we made cards. We made enough cards for like the whole year, and we got a list of birthdays so that we could send out cards to everyone in the congregation from these girls. They all signed all the cards, and we mailed them to them for birthdays for that year. And we also made cupcakes, and then we took the cupcakes to some of the older members of our congregation. And when I started it, I was like, this is going to be great. I'm going to do it all the time. And I did it once. So I think it's a really great idea, and people should do it, including me. This is kind of a short example, but like when I first got married, I got married when I was 18. I moved to Missouri, didn't know anybody, and immediately asked if I could teach Bible class at church because I'm a teacher. And so I taught the 2-year-old Bible class, and several people came up to me and were like, it's so encouraging to see you at 18, like being willing to volunteer and teach Bible class, and you don't have any kids, and that's so great. And I just like doing it, and I didn't have any kids, so I had lots of free time. But even just like doing the normal things you should do, that can be encouraging to other people. When I had cancer, I told you I only had lived in Arizona for about 2 months when I found out. And when I shared that with the congregation, everyone was crying, and I was like, I don't understand why you're all crying. You don't even know me. Like, I've been here for like 5 minutes. And I feel like I had a conversation with, I don't remember your name. Jackie. I had a conversation with Jackie this morning, and she said she feels like God puts us in places at certain times in our life. I was in Arizona at that time of my life for a reason, because these women who didn't even know me, like, totally stepped up to take care of me. And somebody organized for, instead of like having people bring me meals on a regular basis for 6 months while I went through chemotherapy with a newborn, they all made meals, and she brought everybody containers. Everybody made a meal or two or five and put them in these containers. She brought ice chests to church. Everybody brought their meals. And on the top, they had like labels with directions. And she told me, take this home, fill up your freezer. And then when you don't have time to cook or you don't feel like cooking, you have a meal. And if you run out, let me know, because we're going to make sure you have food for this whole time. That was fantastic, because I didn't feel good. I didn't want people coming over and bringing me food, because I just wanted to lay in bed all the time. So it was really good. At the same time, like, they would just say, when's your next doctor's appointment? I'll come watch your kids. I didn't even ask anybody. They always came. One of the people from church owned a cleaning company, and she called me and said, we're coming to clean your house today. I didn't ask for that. I needed that, but I didn't ask anybody. She just showed up and did it. And it was very encouraging for them to take care of somebody like me that they didn't know so well. So it was a great example of like, this is how God's church should be, right? We should be seeing a need, and they didn't wait for me to ask. They just did it, and I was so well taken care of. Something I didn't put on there. Matt's been deployed 5 times now. This is his 5th deployment. On the first 4, he never got a care package from anybody but me. And this time, since he's been gone, he's probably gotten 10. And it has, like, completely changed his perspective. Like, he feels so loved, and it is so great. And he doesn't need anything. Like, he doesn't need the care package. They have a BX, which is like a Walmart. Like, he can go buy anything that's in those care packages, right? But just knowing that somebody remembered him is, like, so great for him emotionally when he's away. It's a Muslim country. He doesn't get to go to church. The people, the elders at our church, started streaming services so he can watch them. He didn't ask for that, but they knew that he was not able to attend somewhere, so they just started doing that. So those kind of things have, even though this is longer, he's gone for a year, have made his experience so much better because he doesn't feel like he's been forgotten. So now I want to give you time to share, like, ideas that you have about ways that we can encourage people. So you can talk about this at your table, or we can just shout out ideas. So what do you think? Shout out ideas. Okay. Who has an idea? We've already heard good ones, right? We've heard some, but. I think my daughter would say you're still a young, cool person. Yeah. I'm not, even though we're the same age, but, you know. Did you want to say one? Okay. Okay. And another thing, you know, it said in Romans 15:4, encourage one another through scriptures. So when we are reaching out to encourage someone, sharing a scripture with them could be very encouraging. And so I wanted to share my favorite verse that I read. I mean, pretty much every day I read this when I had cancer, and it was really encouraging to me, and it's in 2 Kings 20, so I'm going to actually read it. It's the first few verses of that chapter about Hezekiah. In those days, Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came to him and says, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die, you shall not recover." And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Now, O Lord, please remember how I have walked in before you in faithfulness and with a whole heart and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, "Turn back and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life." And so I think I read that every day. It just encouraged me because I thought, God listens to our prayers, and he answers them. And so if it is his will, then he will heal me. And if it is not, then it's not. But it was just encouraging to read that over and over. And so when I meet or know people who are struggling with an illness, that's a verse that I like to share with them. And I imagine you all also have favorite verses that are encouraging. So I thought it might be helpful, and I'll write them down and, like, make a list, and then we can all kind of have a resource of, if someone's struggling, here's a scripture that you might be able to send them that might help. So I'm going to walk back over there where you won't be able to hear me, and then you can shout out scriptures, and I will write them down. Okay, the last thing that I had, and I thought I had planned this really strategically, is that I was going to ask you all, think of someone right now that you can encourage. And I was going to bring cards and have you all write a card to somebody, and then, you know, you could take it with you and mail it. And I thought, I'm supposed to speak for an hour, so no matter how long I take, if that's my last activity, it can take up the rest of the time. It's perfect. And then I told Vicky my idea, and she's like, "Oh, I already have that as one of the activities." So... do you want to tell the activity? So right now I'm finished, and we're going to make cards for people.